Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths." And I think that's where we need to be this year as we try to start a brand new 2021 and acknowledge God and as our Savior and let him lead us the direction he wants. And you know, sometimes disappointments come, sometimes things don't go like we hoped they would, but we need to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. This is Bill Woods, and I want to just talk to you today about some things that I think will kind of help us. We've come through a very difficult year in 2020, and it didn't start out real good, I don't think, in 2021, and yet we want to turn to God because he's still in control, and he still is able to help us in every situation we face. Today I want to talk about, and all because. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18 in the New King James Version says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us as far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." William Soter was one of the great Scottish poets of the 1900s. His life was a tragic one. He died in 1943. He was only 45 years old. For 25 years, he suffered a debilitating illness. And the last 10 years of his life, he was completely helpless. He had a great gift of writing, and in spite of his own tragedy, he managed to keep his wit and was noted as a good storyteller. One of his stories told the importance and effect of little things. He said, "A logger's wife forgot to put salt in her husband's morning porridge. When he angrily complained, she told him he was a fool to make such a fuss about such a small matter. Well, this infuriated the logger, and arriving at work in the forest, he lashed out at a tree with such force and venom that the axe head flew off. He injured his employer's favorite horse that was being led to the blacksmith shop. That was the horse his employer, a nobleman and an important man in the district, was going to ride to a meeting of the lords to discuss their differences with the king. Because of his anger, the employer, in a foul mood over having to find another horse, successfully argued for an uprising against the king. In the rebellion that followed, many were killed, and there followed a period of poverty, famine, and unrest. This rebellion loss of life and suffering happened because a woodcutter's wife forgot to salt her husband's porridge." The point of this story is to show how little things can have a widespread effect, like throwing a rock in a pond and watching the ripples spread out until they reach the shore. If we're young or middle-aged or even retired, we may feel there's little we can do or even want to do that'll greatly affect others. But this isn't true. Every action, every good deed, every performed service, every outreach has an effect on someone's life somewhere. You know, they talk about pay it forward, do something good. You know, somebody has done something good for you, so take it on, do something good for someone else. And that's really a good habit, I think. Remember, we're in God's hands, and we are supposed to use our hands and feet for God's purpose. Have you used yours today? A mother got so busy that one evening she forgot to clean the shoes and prepare the clothes for her three young children to get ready for school the next day. Well, the day started badly and very rushed. The children went to school in tears. Mom and Dad were fighting and went to work in an ugly mood, and it was a bad day for the whole family and probably for those working alongside the parents. And all because she forgot to prepare the children's shoes. You know, faith sometimes begins by stuffing your ears with cotton, not hearing everything that's going around, but keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, "Just believe," He was saying, don't limit your possibilities to just what you can see. Don't listen only for what you can hear. Don't be controlled by only what seems logical. Believing there is more to life than meets the eye, trust me, Jesus was saying. And he was pleading, don't be afraid, just trust. A father in the Bahamas yelled the same thing to his young son trapped in a burning house. The two-story home was engulfed in flames, and the family, father, mother, the several children, was on its way out when the smallest boy became terrified and ran back upstairs. His father outside shouted to him, jump, son, jump, and I'll catch you. The boy cried, but Daddy, I can't see you. I know, his father said, but I can see you. You know, a similar experience of faith was found on the wall of a concentration camp. A prisoner had carved, I believe in the sun even though it doesn't shine. I believe in love even when it isn't shown. I believe in God even when he doesn't speak. Try to imagine the person who etched those words with his skeletal hand gripping the broken glass or stone that cut into the wall. Imagine his eyes squinting through the darkness as he carved each letter. What hand could have cut such a conviction? What eyes could have seen good in such horror? There's only one answer. Eyes that choose to see the unseen. The Apostle Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Either to live by the facts or to see by faith. When tragedy strikes, we're left to choose what we see. I don't mean to buy into the Christian Science doctrine, thinking life is just an illusion, but I do mean to adopt Romans 8:28 and not let everything swamp my boat. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That doesn't mean everything that happens is good, but when you sum up the total at the end, you find out that God was right there and things worked out for your good, for the best that you needed. Remember, this life is short compared to eternity, and eternity is where we'll find our answers as to why and also complete satisfaction for what we go through here. Many people were severely disappointed at the results of the election this week. To many, there was still hope on January 6th when it was thought the Electoral College vote could be reversed by exposing fraud in the election. Then came the invasion of the Capitol building, and hopes were completely dashed for turning things around. Some have said, what's the use? We have some hard days ahead of us. I just don't see how we can go on from here. You know, you can let your discouragement control you like the guy who didn't get salt on his porridge, or you can remember that God is in charge and trust him for the outcome of the elections or anything else that seems to be plaguing you. My suggestion is, if you let God help you to get your mind off your troubles and make yourself available to helping and encourage others, it won't be long until life looks a whole lot better. I found this article the other day. I think it might add perspective to all of our lives. It's entitled, Would Somebody Please Help? Scripture says, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. That's Matthew 25:40. Could someone help me out? My little brother has no food. It's been 3 days since he last ate a real meal. His dad ran out on him earlier this year. I thought I'd ask you for help because you're a Christian. One of my sisters ran away from home because she overheard a conversation about her being a mistake. She told me that nobody cares. She'll be back in a few days. Would you go over and tell her that somebody does care? She just needs to some attention. And then there's that elderly lady that lives down the street. You know, the one, the dirty, smelly lady that no one likes very much. She's out of medication and has no money to buy more. Please help. She'll die if she doesn't get that medicine. Oh, yeah. I hate to be a bother, but I know this man who's in the hospital. The doctors have given him only 48 hours to live. There's no hope for improvement. What I'm really concerned about is that he's not ready to meet God. Is there any way you could go there and tell him how he can be saved? Please, could you help? There's so many people that I know in your own hometown, even on your street, who could use a little help. I see so many sick, lonely, hurting, and lost people. Some need encouragement, some food, some clothing, some need attention, and others just need a few odd jobs done around the house that they can't do themselves. There are the kids who have no parents, the elderly who have no children, the teenagers who feel unloved, and the men and women who are facing divorce. They all need help. Please, could you help? Look at all the broken homes and broken hearts around you, all the needs that you could meet. Please, could you help? I won't keep you any longer, but I do need your help. Just remember this one last thing the next time you see a hurting or needing soul in front of you. Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Thank you. Love, Jesus. You know, we can see either hurt or the healer. We can either bask in our own self-pity because we think something has gone wrong, or we can choose to find new purpose in life. And the choice is yours. Choice is mine. What do you choose today? My hope is that you choose Jesus Christ and his way, and you look beyond the problems that you have today and see the face of Jesus Christ and get help in knowing that what we're going through now is temporary, but we have eternity out before us where we will be comforted and to be with Jesus Christ forever and ever. And it's worth it just to trust him today to get through our problems, to let him minister to us and let him help us minister to others. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, sometimes we have disappointments come. Sometimes, Lord, it feels like our boat is going to get swamped. But God, I just pray that you'll help us to look beyond the problems and look for the strength and help that is only comes through you. I'm thinking, Lord, as I pray, I think about David and Goliath. It could have been easy for David to look at the size of that giant and back down and be frightened, but he looked beyond the giant and saw you. And Father, I pray we'll look beyond our problems today and see you and realize that as our day, so shall our strength be. Lord, if there are some that are listening today that don't know you as their Savior, I pray that this will be the day that they confess their sins to you, repent of their sins, accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and gain access to a home in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for all you do. We love you so much. And I pray, God, today you'll use us, lead us the ways you want us to go, and remind us that whatever we're facing now is not forever. It's just temporary. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that completes what I have to say today. If you'd like to get in touch with me, remember my address is William Woods, Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Or my email address is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. I'm praying for you. If there's something that you'd like me to pray about, just please let me know. And God bless you. I hope you have a good day.